Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham and Dr. Dave Stoop, and your phone calls right here on New Life Live. It is a great day for New Life.
I really appreciate your show. That's why I'm calling.
The program you're getting ready to hear includes humor and some extreme examples.
I was trying to get high, and it got out of control, and my family's hurt, and my wife told me that the children are scared.
You know, at 3 years old, they're not completely identified with their gender yet.
That's a tough call. I mean,
what's tough about that?
My son-in-law has framed me in a certain framework right now.
Imagine that.
What a surprise.
She doesn't have control of you. So she's really not controlling at that point. She's just probably frustrated.
You have your umbilical cord and you keep trying to plug it into people to say, will you nurture me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Sherry Denham. Hi, guys.
Hello. Good to be here.
Okay, I'm going to do like a Geico commercial. Would your marriage benefit from Mylan and Kay's marriage workshop with Dr. Dave Stoop and Jan in D.C. in May? Well, do I work with the best people in the world? Yes, I do. So, anyway.
I wonder what you're going to do next.
It's called Through It All. And better than ever. You get through it and you come out better than ever. That's what we're hoping for. Huh. And let me tell you something. There's some very different things in this workshop. And if you look at all the little marriage workshops all around, what has their impact been on the divorce rate among Christians? Nothing. But this is so different, it might. So I'm hoping and praying that you'll call us or go to the website, newlife.com or 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We also have a New Life Weekend in July in Philadelphia, and Every Man's Battle is in March in Dallas, Texas. So please call us right now or go to the website, newlife.com. We'll tell you all about it. And if you want our resource for this month, it's How We Love Our Kids. It's by Mylan and Kay Yurkovich, and it's a CD from their new book, How We Love Our Kids. I want to go right to the phones today, right off the bat. And I want to talk with Sharon from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, listening on WORD. Hello, Sharon.
Hi.
How are you today?
Nice to get to talk to you today.
Well, we're glad you did. How could we help you?
First off, I want to say I grew up with a fantastic family. My parents just celebrated 50 years together. That's what I say. However, my choices have not been the best. I've had two failed marriages. The first one was an abusive marriage, which fortunately I had no children there. The second one ended after about 10 years. And I have two fantastic kids.
Okay.
And... trying to keep it together here.
Yeah.
But my choices along the way have not been the best. But like I said, I have two great kids, and they always ask, why me? But, geez, I thought I could keep it together.
That's okay.
Sorry.
Hey, just tell us what you've done to fix your choices. What have you done over the past few years to fix it?
I just keep picking the wrong people, and in all relationships, I always give 100%, and quite often, I don't really get that back.
Okay, so you haven't done anything yet to try to fix the people that you choose. I mean, fix yourself and your chooser.
Fix your picker.
Yeah.
I've been going to some counseling, and,
okay.
And you know, it has been helpful. However, I've been in a relationship for 3 years with a guy who's a lot like my dad. He's got a lot of patience. He adores my kids. He's very understanding that my daughter's 13 and a half, my son's 11 and a half. They have school work, you know, the rat race, of course, of the weekly grind and everything. The first year we were together, he was just very, well, he's been caring, but he was very compassionate, very kind. We saw each other almost every day. We definitely would talk every day on the phone.
All right. I want you to think about the question that you want to ask us, and we'll do that at this break. You're listening to New Life Live, newlife.com. That's the website, newlife.com.
my clothes are falling off of me, people are making comments, I would pick up my food, and I was running every day, 6 miles a day, and I got to the point where I was afraid to drink water because I didn't want to gain water weight.
10 million women and girls have eating disorders. Anorexia or bulimia isn't a diet, it's a disease.
My parents knew then that something had to be done immediately.
New Life's Eating Disorders Treatment Clinic can help.
You see that everybody that works there loves God and is wanting to help you.
For more information about our Eating Disorder Treatment Clinic, call New Life today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Find hope for your child to begin healing and embrace life. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I decided that I wanted to work with eating disorders and help save people's lives on a daily basis.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I know that with God and Renuda that my life was spared.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. We're talking with Sharon, who is in a 3-year relationship with a man. And the first year was kind, patient, loving, crazy about the kids. Sharon, what was it like in the second year of the relationship?
He got very scared. Mm-hmm. He's had 2 failed marriages also, and he just put the brakes on. He had a daughter getting ready to graduate, and that was all he was worried about, which kids on both sides, you know, that's important.
Yeah, okay.
Very important.
What happened in the third year? How about that third year you were telling?
He doesn't text me, he doesn't call through the week. Like I said, he knows about the rat race, but then it's like, I'm making excuses for him. I mean,
yeah.
All I told him, if you could just call even for 1 minute, so I know you thought of me.
But okay, like, but that's needy. Sharon, that's kind of needy and desperate.
Yeah.
That would push a lot of men away.
Really?
Oh, honey, yeah. It's like,
you know, I feel like I've proven myself. Like, when his daughter needed to go to work and he couldn't take her, if she had a doctor's appointment, I'd take her because I wanted to, not because he expected it.
But that's not the issue, whether or not you're a wonderful human being who's sweet and loving to his. That's not the issue here.
Sharon, was your mom? I mean, you say your dad was very patient and that, but who was the one who gave 100% in their marriage when you were growing up? Mom?
I think they both gave a whole bunch. I mean, she was a stay-at-home mom. He was dependable. Worked 35 years before retiring. I mean, you could set the clock when he would come home. I mean, I felt it was completely the same amount on each side. You know, I mean, what I just don't understand is how everything could switch up. You know, like, I thought I was proving myself, not trying to manipulate by no means, but like, you know, like, even as silly as a Verizon account, I added his daughter, I added him. And everything because he had a different account and it would chew up minutes. And,
but Sharon,
I mean, I'm paying double every month.
Okay, Sharon, we get it.
And he doesn't even use it. You know?
Okay,
I don't know.
But I want to know how you learned to give 150%. Where did you see that example in your life before this? Because it sounds like that's the pattern you're fighting with. Where did you see that? Who else was giving 150% all the time?
I don't know. What started this all, too, is when I was almost 19, I was attacked.
There you go.
Okay. Sherry said that
something. From that moment on, I felt I didn't deserve it.
Yeah, because we were sitting here in the break just wondering about your family and wondering where you got hurt.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? She got abused somewhere because you don't pick distant, abusive men if you haven't been hurt deeply.
What was your dad's reaction to the attack?
I actually didn't tell him for a long time. Mm.
And then what was his reaction?
He was really upset. And they've always told me, wherever you are, this is before cell phones, I was almost 19, and they always told me, no questions asked, just call, get sick, whatever, if you don't feel you're in a good situation, and we'll pick you up.
The problem was he didn't know where I was at as far as location to explain. Mm-hmm. And I told this gentleman no. And I was an old-fashioned girl waiting until I would get married. And he took that.
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
First time ever meeting the guy.
So, Sharon, this is, I work a lot with trauma survivors. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes what happens when, actually 99% of the time, when trauma happens, we, because it's so emotional and painful, we end up wiring in some kind of belief about our world, about other people, in order to kind of have it make sense. And so I'm wondering. Exactly. And so a couple of beliefs came to mind. I thought it's either, you know, I'm not lovable or maybe I cannot trust anyone. If I was to give you those two, which one would you go for?
Probably lovable.
Okay.
I'm not good enough. Mm. I'm not pretty enough. I'm not smart enough.
Wow.
Yeah.
The list goes on. Mm. I mean, and like I said, my parents not one time ever made me feel that way. Never.
No, okay.
I get it.
Don't even go there.
Never.
You don't even go there, Sharon.
My first husband, when he married me, I thought, wow, someone that would marry me. Because I felt unclean. I thought everything they always said. You know, you go home and you scrub and, you know, all that. And my first husband, he was that abusive.
Yeah.
6 months after we were married, he abused me mentally and sexually for 2 years.
But if we believe, if we've wired in an untrue belief, we live by it because what we think matters. So if you have that belief, then guess what? You're like happy to get anybody, right? Because I'm really not worth more. I really don't deserve a guy that really loves me.
And then you go, you progress the next time to somebody who's really unavailable to me because that's less pressure in that.
So. But see, 3 years is too long to be dating someone at your age.
Yeah.
You know that. And you're not really dating now. But you're just hanging on for these crumbs. And
that don't really come.
Yeah. So what is the question for us?
He is a fantastic guy. I'm not making excuses for that.
I don't think he's fantastic.
He is keeping me at arm's
length. I don't think he's fantastic. I don't think he's fantastic at
all. Well, he may be a fantastic guy all by himself.
Yeah.
But he's certainly not in a relationship.
A fantastic guy says to someone like yourself, we've had some great times. And I tell you, the longer we've dated, I've just felt like it's just not meant to be. And frees you to move on with your life. Doesn't say nothing. Says something. That's what a really good guy does when he's not interested.
A closure.
There you are.
Last weekend, I did. I said, you know, I've helped you out like a couple would do. Like any time he's had an issue or whatever, and it wasn't to get merit badge. It was.
You aren't the issue here. You aren't the issue whether or not you help him and you're good and wonderful to him.
Right.
The issue is he's not and you're willing to put up with it. That's the issue.
Well,
so you have to stop. You have to stop this.
You're trying to earn his love instead of knowing that you're a woman of value and I am worth a man.
Well,
responding
to
me.
Something I always told my kids, and I have to maybe start listening to myself,
that
the kids and I are a family no matter if anyone else comes along. They would just be an additional, they're good for our family.
But before somebody good is going to come along, you've got to work on your image of yourself, and you've got to deal with that trauma, Sharon, because that was not a judgment on you.
No.
That was a judgment on the man who violated you.
You must stop wearing the shame of that man. That's his shame, not yours. That's his. You let him wear it, the one that attacked you. And you need to take off that garment of shame and live your life like a woman who is literate and wonderful to talk to and all the other things that I could say that are good and rich about you. A good mom, you don't deserve to be ignored by a man after knowing him 3 years. So you need to call him or not. You can just say, it's
text him.
Done.
Say.
Text him.
Well,
and
you know what?
It's over.
I used to call him when I thought of him, and I thought, you know what?
Stop.
I'm not even
going
to bother. If he wants to talk to me, let him call me.
He doesn't want to talk to you.
I'm trying to distance myself.
Okay.
I really am.
Don't
cry. Cut it off. Cut it off.
Can we say that this is the last day? that it ends today? Could we say that?
I'm going to try.
No. There's no
try
trying.
Doesn't work. Yeah. You do it or you don't.
It's yes or no. You make the commitment or not. We talked in another program about people that try to milk bulls.
True.
It's never going to give you what you want if you're trying to milk a bull. It just doesn't work and you get hurt.
True.
So get out of that pen.
But you got to get some help for yourself in dealing with what happened to you when you were 19, because I don't think you've fully dealt with that.
Yeah. So I'm going to send you Healing as a Choice, and I think that's going to help. And then I'm going to send you Dave's book, Forgiving the Unforgivable.
Okay.
All right. And I hope that that's going to be helpful. And,
thank you. I appreciate that. Well, and with him too, I went from what I went through to with him 3 years, and we have not in a good upside on him, but is a downer on me. He has not done anything with me, if you know what I mean.
He's not interested in you. See,
so what she's saying,
and that doesn't help me either, because I'm like, you know,
doesn't pursue
if I am staying at his house, and then he doesn't, you know, when I don't have my kids, when they go with their dad for the weekend, and you know, I go there, like he's too tired from the week, and that's his excuse, and whatever. And meantime, if I didn't have that little slice of that 1 year or two, I think I would have let it go. But see,
now's
I didn't hold on to that, like you said.
Now, it's no accident. It's no accident. You got through to the program, and all three of us agree on something. And we all agree you have to let this man go.
You're holding on to nothing.
That's right.
And, sweetheart, like Dave has been saying two or three times, you need to look at changing the way you think about yourself. You are a woman of worth and value.
Yeah.
And you need to go deeper in your therapy work to get to that place. Because as long as you continue to believe the lie that I'm unlovable, you're going to keep picking men that are either avoidant or abusive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I'll send Forgiving the Unforgivable, Healing is a Choice. Now, I want to talk with, that was Sharon number one. Let's go to Sharon number two in Washington, D.C. Hello, Sharon.
Hi.
How are you today?
I'm fine. How are you?
Doing all right. What's going on in your life?
Several years ago, probably 6 or 8 years ago, I met a new friend through work, and her husband is a pastor. And since that time, I have become aware that he has been cheating on her.
Does she know it?
And she knows it.
And she puts up with it?
She feels kind of boxed in a corner, and she has confronted him about it. She has proof, very, very obvious proof.
Mm-hmm.
But she chooses not to go to the church with this information.
Okay.
For other reasons. But my dilemma is she doesn't know that I'm aware of it.
How are you aware of it?
Through originally when I met her the first year we met, this seems to be a history with him.
Yeah.
She confided in me about another situation, and she didn't come out and say that he was having an affair, but she alluded to that.
Yeah.
And that's the only time we've ever spoken about it.
Well, I want to congratulate you on calling us, because Dr. Stoop and I have actually consulted on this exact kind of situation. And
I
want to give you an idea of what to do, and Dave will have maybe a different idea. But an idea would be to write the letter to the elder board for her. And you write it up, and you put her name at the bottom, and you have her sign it. And then you'd create another one, and it's from you. And you go to her with the two letters, and you say to her, one of these letters is going to go to the elder board, because this isn't right. And I'm hoping that you will be courageous enough for it to be your letter, for you to take the step.
I would be happy to do it if she knew that I knew.
Well, you're going to tell her with the letters. You're going to say, "I know this."
Yeah.
The problem I'm faced with here is, how would this affect my responsibility as a coworker, if she goes to, say she gets angry about it and goes to our boss.
It's not the issue.
Okay.
There's
so
an
that,
issue
that shouldn't
of
be a concern.
You know, doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. Everything about this is you doing the right thing at the right time for the right reason. You don't have any selfish ambition here. You're hesitant. So I think your motives are right when you finally do something bold and make a very, very damaging thing. There's another lady in the church that may be next that he will lure her in. And it's just like a child abuser. This man is an abuser. He is a victimizer of women, using his position to lure them in. And it's up to you to help stop that. We'll talk more about it right after this.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
You think I'm a great person, full of life and fun to be around. You say you love me, but if you knew what was going on in my head, I don't think you'd love me anymore. I saw my first girly magazine when I was 7, and I was hooked. I look at porn every chance I get. I've tried to stop over and over again. Sometimes it works for a couple days, but then I fall right back into my old ways.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I want to stop. I need help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Sherry Denham. We're talking with Sharon Number 2, who has information about an unfaithful pastor and wanting to know what to do. I had an idea. Dave, you have some thoughts.
Well, I just had two quick questions, Sharon. I'm wondering if he ever approached you is the first one. And the second one is, how do you know that she knows if she doesn't know that you know?
First of all, no, he's not approached me. I'm okay. Not a member of their church. I've never been to their church.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a close group of ladies that work together. And she enlisted the help of one of our closest friends to follow her husband.
Okay.
They also have a tracking device on his car, and
All right.
They also have pictures of him with this other woman.
Okay, I just got to jump in here. Good for her going that far.
Yeah.
But now we got to help her get to the big
Sharon, fairies. You know, Sharon, I don't think it's by chance that you called in today in this particular hour. Because I don't know if you know this, but I am a former pastor's wife of a sex addict. Did you know that?
No, I don't.
Yeah,
no,
God has a way. Yeah, God has a way of doing things. So I want you to know I was in your friend's position, and my world came tumbling down around me. There was an intervention to the elder board and pastors, and guess what? My husband was called out. And that began the healing. That began, the dominoes started falling, and it was frightening and painful. But the sex addiction came out. And so I want to encourage you as a sister warrior to do exactly what Steve invited you to do. Okay. It has got to come out. There is a sickness that the enemy is just having a heyday with, and it's going to impact and has been impacting people, but it needs to come out. And you may be that person that goes in and is a support to this woman. She mm-hmm. might get angry, she might get hurt, she might get fearful, she might feel all of that. And what I want to say to you is you be a companion warrior with her. You go walk with her. Don't leave her. Tell her, I will be with you.
Maybe it mean I will help take care of you.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I will be there. I have had people that have stayed with me for 15, 20 years after math.
Wow.
Yeah, and you very well may be one of those people.
Or you talk about this with the other ladies in this close group, and you say, look, I am about to make this known to the elder board. What do we have to offer her? And the other thing is that you want to talk with some elders' wives, and you want them to hear that it would be wrong and very unhelpful just to throw them out on the street.
Yeah.
The pastors that I see that get well, and this is what Dave and I did with this mm-hmm. one church. We said, if you will get help, we will continue to pay you. If you don't get help, that's when the paycheck ends. Now, that gives motivation for that mm-hmm. person to go get help. But it's horrible when you just throw them out on the street, and then they have, then they're angry about their dismissal and right. all of that, and that becomes the focus.
And they don't know what else to do because there's no church to touch them. Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. Sharon, that's a lot of times why pastors and pastors' wives struggle to come out. Mm-hmm. It's because, unlike the work world, they lose their job.
Yeah.
And that's already happened before.
Uh-huh.
When it came here, that happened.
Okay, oh, wow. So this is round two. And you know what? The sex addiction has not been treated. It's just started in a new place.
And,
so,
and if they would send him to Every Man's Battle, we could work with him, and we wouldn't charge them.
Okay.
As a pastor, we would help him.
Here's what I would suggest, Sharon. The first step, I think, would be for your ladies group to have an intervention with his wife, where you guys sit down and say, we understand, we know what's going on, we've helped you verify what's going on, now we got to help you with the next step, because this cannot continue, it has to stop. And we want to approach the board, and we want them to set up a restoration process with him.
Right.
And you can consult with us here at the in the office with how to do that. But that somehow you've got to say, and we're going to take care of you, you say to the wife.
It's a great idea, Dave.
And then go from there and see what happens. But God wants to heal this situation. Yeah. He doesn't want it to fester.
That's right.
Proud of you, Sharon.
Yep. Stepping up to the plate. Mm-hmm. All right. God bless you there. Hope you have the courage to follow on through. What would be a great resource for her? Oh, I know. John and Henry's How to Have That Difficult Conversation.
Yeah.
That'd be a great book. We'll send that out and hope that will be a blessing to you. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the number. And, we love to help people here. And if you can help us, we sure would appreciate it. $110 is what we figured out, one show on one station, on the average, cost us. And we're asking people all this month to, if you possibly can, to buy one day of radio for $110. We know that's going to be a big sacrifice for a lot of people. Maybe you could sacrifice and buy 10 days, whatever. But it all goes to help us pay this horrendous radio bill. But it's worth it to us because we get to reach so many people on radio and television. We really appreciate getting to do that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more calls at 1-800-229-3000. If you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Or go to that website. See all the things that we have to offer at newlife.com. It's a great place, a lot of resources. I think you'll like it.
Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Join Steve Arterburn, Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Sherry Denham, and Mylon Yurkovich of New Life Live for a daily time of teaching. You'll have the experience of a lifetime visiting the places where the events of Scripture really happened. Jerusalem, the Sea of Galilee, the Mount of Olives, Masada, and much more. Not only will you see the sites that bring history and Scripture to life, but Stephen Curtis Chapman will perform a once-in-a-lifetime private concert. Out of these ashes, beauty will rise, and we will dance among the ruins. We will. If there was ever a trip you don't want to miss, this is it. Experience new life in the Holy Land June 6th through the 16th. Call and sign up today at 1-800-223-3855. Or for more information, visit newlife.com. 1-800-223-3855.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership and club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. Sherry Denham. Let's talk with Irene from Malden, Massachusetts, W-E-Z-E. And hold on. Irene is on line 4. Hello, Irene.
Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you today?
Fine, thank you. I want to thank you for all that you're doing, you guys. This is just a great thing.
Well, thank you.
And may God bless you all.
Thank you. We love doing it. It's really a privilege to do it. Now, what's going on in your life that would cause you to call a live radio call-in talk show program?
Well, I got married this month on the 6th.
6th?
With my first anniversary.
Okay.
But apparently, I'm not with my husband because I'm in Massachusetts and he's in another state.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted to go to the other state because he was from another country and he wanted to settle in. So his friend said we'll help him, which he is doing. He's really doing a great job. But my problem is that my sister came in. And I just want, like, to settle her in, too. And he says that I'm not being submissive because I'm not, like, being with him. Even on our anniversary, I went there to visit him, but he just says I'm not submissive.
Okay, well, tell us now, why don't you want to move to where he is? Why did you decide not to move with him?
Yeah, because my sister is here, and I just want her, like, to get settled in, you know. Now, like.
But you're not married to her.
I know.
I mean, what you said was, I'm going to go wherever you want to go. If you're like
right.
Ruth and Naomi, that situation. And you chose your family over your marriage, and the Bible says to leave and to cleave. Now,
right,
I think it was wrong of him just to decide on his own, hey, we're going to move. He should have consulted you, gotten the full picture there. But
he did consult me,
okay.
Apparently. He did consult me, and I told him, yeah, if that is going to help us, then, well, move. And then I'll be with you after some time, you know.
Now, why does your sister need you there and not with your husband?
Yeah, because I just need, like, I want her, like, to first get a job, like, to get settled in, you know, because she's new to the state, and well, I'm just trying to help her.
Well, I think a job is a really good thing, but maybe she can move with you.
No, that's the problem, is that our culture doesn't accept that, you know,
okay,
not
well,
allowed.
Well, okay, but your culture says to follow the man you marry. If he's got
right.
to go to work in another state to get a job, that's my thought. Is you need to go get with your husband, not stay with
but
your sister.
Don't you think someone who loves you will be a little bit patient and understanding?
Well, it's a tough situation you've gotten yourself into.
Well, it's a new relationship too?
Yeah,
which makes it harder.
See, right. I'm wondering, Irene, what you're afraid of, my dear, because you are. It feels to me like here you're married and there's some pause button that you've put down. And so whether it's your sister as the excuse, whether it's something else, it could be anything. But, you know, for you to tell your husband, I'll see you in some time, my goodness, that's just, if I was him, I'd be unnerved. I'd be like, well, what do you mean sometime? You know, we're married.
Yeah, he didn't talk to me. He even if I call him now, he just doesn't, you know, want, you know,
well, right. Well,
at all.
He feels abandoned by you. Abandoned. It's confusing. It's hurtful. So I'm wondering, what are you afraid of?
Well, it was so hard for him, like, to go to the other state. But I did that because I wanted him to be happy. You know, like to go to the state where his friend will help him and everything. And I just told him, if he can just be patient with me and, you know, understand my situation too.
Okay.
Because,
well, what we're talking about is using him being in another state as an excuse to not be with him, when in reality there's something deeper inside of you that is being challenged as you're married. So you've just said, hey, you mean you didn't say it out loud, but you're the inner child or inner teenager or whatever said, hey, we don't have to go with this guy. We're not going to go. And that fixed this problem, me being afraid of intimacy or me being afraid of being controlled or me being afraid of whatever it is that you're afraid of. That's what we're trying to get at here. And all I can say is I believe, based on what you've said, it would be really helpful for you to go live with your husband.
And say, so I live my sister.
And your sister, how old is your sister?
She's 20.
She's 20. Well, as a 20-year-old, your sister needs to do what is best for your sister.
Yeah.
See, what you've done, Irene, is you've made a choice of priorities, and you're saying to your husband, you're not as important to me as my sister is.
Yeah, that's what he says.
Well, yeah, it's an insult.
But that's
to
what
him.
It is, and that's an insult to any man, and it's detrimental to a marriage. And unless he feels like he's your priority, he's going to be less than, he's going to be hurt, he's going to be angry, and as a man, his gentle, you know, his fragile little ego has been damaged.
His fragile little ego feels like you're living with another woman. It just happens to be your sister. So,
and it might create a vulnerability that he might eventually do that.
Yeah, right.
You don't. It's really exposing your marriage. There's some hurt and anger, and it's opening your marriage up.
Right. So the sister must fend for herself. Definitely. Sorry. Or work out something for her to
and
move.
And quickly.
Yeah. All right. 1-800-229-3000 to join us on the program. Let me see. How We Love would be a great book for those. I'm going to send that right out. And let's talk over here to Aaron. Oviedo, Florida, WTLN, or something like that. How do you say your town, Aaron?
Oviedo.
Oh, thank
Oviedo.
You.
It's outside of Orlando.
I guessed and got it right. That's really good. Okay, how can we help, Aaron?
I need some advice. I was given a trust when my father passed away, and just looking for some advice as to how to handle that in a marriage situation.
A trust?
Trust.
Oh, a trust. I'm sorry.
Okay, like what do you mean? Are you getting married or are you married?
I'm married. I've been married for 11 years.
And so, is this a significant amount of money?
It is. And my sister's portion was given directly to her. I think my father died suddenly, so we never had a conversation. I had no knowledge of this you know, that I was even being left anything. But I think it was because my husband and I have had a difficult marriage. We've been married for 11 years, but it has been a struggle. And I think he was just trying to protect me. But I don't know how do you bring that into a marriage when it's money that's in my name? Everything else we've tried to combine everything. We've worked towards that. My husband was married previously and has a child from that marriage. So there's a lot in our marriage that has tried to separate us. And now I have a trust that I had no...
And the trust will separate you even more if not handled appropriately.
Exactly.
Yeah. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I've never had anything like this. And
have
I
you ever been?
If you had any advice?
Have you ever been to Las Vegas?
Yes.
Because
you're
about to bet the trust that your marriage is going to continue. I mean, really, that's you make that, you know, when you say what's yours is mine and mine is yours, you bring that into the marriage, you may lose it if you guys don't work through the marriage. So you need to do two things. You need to bring the trust into the marriage, and then you need to fix the marriage.
Okay.
Now, let's see what Dave and Sherry think. They may have a different answer. They may think protect yourself. It's a horrible situation. You may need that. I don't know.
Well, I'm just wondering if their marriage has been a struggle, Aaron, for a long time. What's kept you guys from working on that? It's kind of like all of a sudden here's a trust. Wah! You know, so the trust meter has been turned up on high because it sounds like there is some trust issues in your relationship.
Right, exactly. There has been, and we've been to at least 8 to 10 different counselors working on this over the course of our marriage.
Wow. Maybe you ought to come to our marriage workshop. Maybe that would be the answer.
Yeah.
You know, because in this case, the trust is about trust.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what has been holding me back on, you know, bringing it up and letting it be out in the open, because he really doesn't even know anything about it. He hasn't asked me, and it just hasn't even been broached.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, that's where you got to start. You got to start talking about it. But it is, you know, it's separate property because it's an inheritance, and any attorney is going to tell you to protect that, but because they don't think about the marriage. So you got a quandary. You probably ought to be with a marriage counselor to discuss this.
Yeah. All right, we'll take a break and we'll come right back for more of New Life Live. Glad you're with us today. Go to that website, newlife.com. Some great resources there for you.
Hi, everybody. Max Locato here. You know, I've been a pastor for over 25 years, and in the process, I've been fortunate to cross paths a few times with Steve Arterburn and his team at New Life. And I can tell you for a fact that these are good people doing real ministry work where the rubber meets the road. One of the ways they help people is through their New Life Weekend. The Apostle Paul writes about finding the transformation that comes from the renewing of your mind. That's what these folks at New Life specialize in. Whether you struggle with anger, unforgiveness, depression, grief, boundaries issues, maybe you've never worked through the pain of a past abortion, maybe you need a marriage tune-up, maybe your marriage is in crisis. Listen, these good people can help you. Call them today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 and ask about the New Life Weekend.
They listened to what I had to say and put me together with a therapist that filled those needs. And you make a difference. You change my life. You give me an opportunity. I now have tools to work with. I'm really pleased. But now I know I have a New Life friend waiting for me. Anytime anything comes up in my life, now all I've got to do is pick up the phone.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn. For over 15 years, New Life has been the trusted name in Christian counseling. Our nationwide network of over 500 licensed professional counselors means we have experienced help close to you. If you struggle with anxiety, depression, marital problems, or just need someone to talk to, call us anytime at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You don't have to be trapped by the past. Today could be the start of a new, better life for you. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
I knew I was on track from the time I called you.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Sherry Denham, Dr. Dave Stoop. Dave is the author of a really wonderful, wonderful book called Forgiving the Unforgivable. That's the one I like. Making Peace with Your Father is another one. And forgiving ourselves, forgiving our parents.
Forgiving our parents, forgiving ourselves.
Look at that. I got three of them right. Tanya from Washington, D.C. listens on WAVA. Hello, Tanya.
Hello.
How can we help you today?
Okay. I'm a little nervous.
Okay.
I'm 39 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And never really had long-term relationships, meaning anything longer than like 5 months.
Okay.
Hope to get married one day. Sometimes when dating, an issue is that the fact that I'm still a virgin because I'm trying to wait till marriage, and most guys don't want to do that, or they just want to try it out beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
And I find myself choosing emotionally unavailable men. So I'm just trying to wonder what kind of advice could you give me? I've read How to Find a Date Worth Keeping and Boundaries in Dating. It's just always an issue, and I don't know, just haven't been successful at relationships.
Yeah.
So I was going to say, what does it look like when you meet someone? Just give us a little snippet of what it looks like in the meeting, greeting, and courtship part.
I'm open. Usually, I try not to judge guys based on if a previous relationship didn't work out. I try to communicate, but sometimes I find myself closing up.
Okay.
When you're talking about certain different issues, or I don't know, it's like I just haven't been able to meet anyone where they're willing to give me their time and pursue me, even if I show interest.
So you're not feeling pursued, and you're picking men that don't pursue.
Yeah, who are emotionally unavailable.
Yeah.
They're always busy with life.
So what was...
try to show interest.
Right. What was your relationship like with your dad? Did he pursue you?
Yeah, my dad took care of me. He lived in the household. Parents have been married a long time.
Okay.
He's always provider.
What about mom?
The same way. Very caring and nurturing, I guess, partially growing up as a latchkey kid. That I don't know if that's an issue or not. I loved being a latchkey kid, though.
You loved being a latchkey
very
kid.
Very independent. Huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that does say something there.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It does.
Also, I'm just curious, in your normal dating patterns, do you mention the fact that you're a virgin on the first date?
No.
You don't? That's not typical?
No. No, I don't.
Yeah. Okay.
What did you like about being a latchkey kid? You said you loved being a latchkey kid.
The fact that I could go home to an empty house and not have to worry about anybody hassling me about doing my homework or...
Now, I'm not a genius, as you could tell, but do you think there might be some relationship between that and not being married today where you can come home to an empty house? In other words, you want one thing, but you choose something else. You want to get married, but you choose to be alone, and you do things that foster the choice versus the desire. Just the question.
So what Steve is saying is it would really mess up your world to go further than 5 months or to be with a man who's emotionally available.
Do you have roommates?
No.
A cat? Do you have a cat?
No animals.
Honey, you are alone.
You got to get
an
animal.
Are you not in pain?
I keep myself pretty busy.
Like a latchkey kid would.
You know,
being out of the house a lot.
You know what I think happens, Tanya? I think that a guy gets interested in you, but you're just so busy and you're so independent, he doesn't know he doesn't know where the doorway is to get into your life.
Your virginity may not be the issue.
I don't think so.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. It's how do you let somebody into your life?
You know, go ahead.
I was going to say, it's really, Tanya, I want to come for your heart here, so I'm going to say something. It's your stubborn commitment to be independent. It's keeping you disconnected. And there's something that's really sad to me as I'm listening to you, because I'm like, Tanya, you don't even know how painful it is. Like, you're kind of okay with it. You want to graduate.
Part
but
of her.
It's almost like you're either you're not aware of the pain, or you're medicating by staying busy or other kind of things. But I'm surprised that there isn't a deep ache.
Is there a deep ache?
What?
Ache.
I really haven't noticed it. I mean, I do desire companionship.
All right, but
to a point.
But see, you've hit a wall. And we're pointing that wall out to you. So now I think you need to do something to deal with that wall. You come to a New Life weekend or you go to a counselor and you say, I think there might be a conflict here with something I'm choosing and something I want, and we want to work that out.
Yeah, there's part of me that wants connection mm-hmm. and relationship, but there's another part of me that right now is a little bit bigger that says, I kind of like being a latchkey kid still and pretty much on my own.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's so lonely there, Tanya.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You're worth so much more.
Yeah. Maybe you've become a latchkey woman is what we're saying. And so we want to see you we want to see you with some companionship.
Break out of that so you can stick a key in somebody else's door and move forward.
You know, a lot of times what people call this is a really avoidant person.
Yeah.
And I'm going to send you How We Love, Mylon Kay's book, to see if that doesn't help you see some of the things you're doing and maybe break those patterns.
Yeah, because you might be missing some really great guys.
That's right. Well, I'm going to hope you could even come to this marriage weekend, because you don't have to be a couple to go. And things can be better than ever with the New Life weekend. It's the 13th through the 15th in D.C. And then we've got a New Life weekend in July 22nd. That's going to be a great time. And March 25th, Every Man's Battle in Dallas, Texas. All of that available on the website, newlife.com. You can find the details. By the way, if you've been on the phone, call us back in about an hour. We'll be in the studio again with some more programs. Also, you can find out about our Holy Land tour that we're going to do in June 6th through the 16th with Mylon Yurkovich and John Townsend and Sherry Denham. Some singles coordinator, Stephen Curtis Chapman, is going to join us the whole trip and provide concert and some worship times. It's going to be trip of a lifetime. That's what I think. So please call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you want to find out about that, or go to the website, newlife.com. Now, it is March, and we do need your help. We've made it this far, and we just need you to stay with us and support us so that we never, ever get behind in our billing again. And so please help us if at all possible. We've determined it's about $110 to buy one day of airtime for your area. And so if you could give one day of airtime, that would be absolutely amazing. And you can find out all about that on our website at newlife.com or by calling 1-800-NEW-LIFE. A lot of resources there, including the Life Recovery Bible. Every Man's Bible is a wonderful gift to a man or to yourself. It really will help you get into the Word in a way you've never been before. So call us if we can help you. My thanks to Dr. Dave Stoop. Thank you, Dave, and Dr. Sherry Denham. And thanks to all of you who watch or listen, and all of you that support us. We pray for you, we love you, we care about you, and we'll see you here next time on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by getting you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries,
P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live.